Welcome to the Fire and Beer podcast. This is your host, Marcel Gomez. This is volume two of Kicking It with Kamal. Kamal, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm doing good.
We're already laughing because every time I start the podcast, it's really hard for me to start it. I can't stop laughing. I get weird. But we have two special guests today. We have Mr. Anthony, a.k.a. Stop and Smell the Hops on Instagram. Anthony, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you very much for having me.
And then we also have the man, the myth, the legend, my brother from another mother, Mr. Jose, a.k.a. at YankeeRunner77 on Instagram. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. Thank you for having me, my man.
So if you're new to the Kicking It with Kamal series, the whole premise is that we crack open the beer, Kamal and I, and sometimes we'll have guests. And what we'll do is just talk shit about whatever comes to our fucking mind.
Unscripted. Yeah, there's completely no script. Unscripted. We're just here talking.
We don't want to plan for any of this. So we popped open two things before we started this podcast. The first was if you've been following my Insta stories, I asked a question about stout in a can. And then inevitably, we started talking about the stubby cans from Evil Twin. So we popped open the, what is this? Kamal, you brought this over.
The Great Northern Series. This is the Blizz Bourbon Maple Syrup and Red Wine. I guess those are the two barrels. And age 23 months. Adjuncts of toasted coconut, cacao nibs, and cinnamon. So, and it is 14%. And it is a 8-ounce stubby can, Evil Twin NYC.
So when I talked about stouts in the can, I meant it to be as a joke. And I was shocked to see that everybody is okay and cool with and accept and actually want little stubby stout cans. Even barrel-aged stubby stout cans. And now barrel-aged barley wine stubby cans.
Yep, on their way.
In there. So this is my thought, man. You know, Kamal hits me up and he's like, hey, man, yo, you're not about stouts in the can, bro?
Very good voice.
Are you too bougie, bro? And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. So here's my deal.
Right. Let's hear it.
This is my deal. Drinking a beer out of a bottle, I don't know if this would have tasted better in a bottle.
Right.
I don't know that. I'm not, you know, I don't have the palate to distinguish that. But for some reason, it just feels better to me in a glass. It's about the experience. Right. You open it up. If you got a wax, ooh, you feel real special.
Extra. Super, you know, extra.
You just cock it open and then you pop.
Man, this is
you scrap, you just take the fucking wax off and then you pop the bottle open.
What are we talking about?
I don't know, man. That's the problem. This is how this happens. So you pour it in the glass and it's delicious. And so when the stout stuff came out, it's like, I understand like a porter, even like a standard stout. But when you start going to the barrel age stuff, I feel like there's a mental game more than anything, I assume, than flavor, because this is outstanding. I want more.
It was delicious. Yep. I think it was really good.
But I don't know. Jose, you know, and what's your guys' thoughts on it, man?
I think it's a stigma, man. I think technically there should be no change to the flavor of a beer that's in a can or a bottle.
Is that true? Technically there should be no
scientifically flavor? It is, because the actual beer never touches the metallic of that can. There's like a coating on the inside that actually protects it, and it does that so you can't have any like that oxidation and things like that. So it's technically, if you want to be really technical and get like specific, it actually will last longer in a can than it would in a bottle, because the bottle, you know, has the cap on top that could, you know, you could compromise that seal easier than compromising the seal of a can.
Interesting. It's fucking my thunder, but okay,
I can't wait to fact check. Let's make sure we fact check this afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, just throwing it out there, I've had some amazing stouts in cans. I mean, I don't know if you have anything from Timber Ales before.
No.
I mean, his stuff is phenomenal, and it's in cans.
Yeah.
They actually did a collaboration with The Seed, and it was one of the better stouts I've had. knocked me off of my feet.
Do they do those stouts come in four packs or do they come single cans?
Depends on the store who sells it. Right. So you can only get it in stores, and I guarantee you Bottle King probably has it.
Timber Ales? Interesting.
Timber Ales, yeah.
What's his handle? I got New York
Well, it's Timber Ales, but he also has another one.
New York Beer Society, I think. Jason, okay.
He's super cool dude. I mean, I got to talk to him through the Zooms in the beginning of COVID.
That's right.
That's interesting. I don't know. For some reason, I thought he was... I didn't know he was releasing beer. I thought it was...
Oh, he is, yeah. For a while now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And really good stuff. Marlow Ales just released another stout that's really good.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell everybody. Everybody's, you know, obviously these are all amazing bottles that you have there, but you can get really good beer on the shelves. Hmm. You know, everybody wants the hard to get stuff, which is great because it does taste amazing, but some stuff is overlooked on shelves and it's great for some people.
Right.
Like me.
Yeah.
That I could just go to the store and they could do the aging for me.
Right. You know, that's an interesting point because when me and Kamal were talking about it first, I'm like, yo, we should save this for the podcast. But, you know, I think that same week I saw that Everett was in a can. And I'm like,
and that's how I was like, is the perfect example for you.
Exactly.
By the way, that's the beer you got to go get.
And how Anthony explained it is exactly right. You're 100% accurate with that.
All right. So going back to the original point, come on. Yes. I'm bougie.
I'm bougie.
Yeah.
I'm
bougie.
You want that bottle, you want that wax.
But I get exactly what you're saying, though. Right. The experience of... You get a really fresh bottle, but then think about it on the side of the brewery, right? Like, what if a brewery is selling a banging stout, but they're selling 4 16-ounce cans when the bottle that they sold for almost the same price, right? Maybe they sold it for $18, and maybe the 4-pack of cans was $24, right?
Right.
But you got a 16.9-ounce bottle of a banging stout, but the packaging was totally different. Now the brewery's making, let's say, 4 bottles they're selling for a couple more bucks, right?
Right.
And as opposed to just one bottle.
Yeah, it's definitely right? perception.
So everybody thinks, oh, it comes in a 4-pack. It can't be that good.
Yeah.
I've had, because the whole thing that got us started, I had an Evil Twin stout that was 13.5%, and I had it from a year and a half ago. And I opened it, and it was delicious. It was great. Mm-hmm. And I bought a 4-pack of that shit, you know?
Yo, Pete and Michelle, let's do a 4-pack of BA Lads.
No, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is now you go into, like, break down, like, the cost analysis. It's a lot more expensive for glass as it is for cans, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be aware that glass is going to break, possibly, whereas cans a little more resilient. So. Yeah. Everything about it just makes it better. Packaging cans is easier than packaging bottles. It all breaks down to actually saves them a little more money. But the bougie part is where the allure comes in. And that's why people do it, right? Like, do you have to dip it in wax? Like, no. But, oh, man, you get that thing. People see wax. Yeah. Like, oh, I need this bottle. I don't even know why.
Yep.
I just need it because it's got wax on it.
It was like that Apple app. Remember a couple of years ago, it was $1,000. And all it was like an app. The flex that you spent $1,000 an hour.
Oh my God.
It literally did nothing. you guys never heard of that?
No.
It was like 5 years ago or something like that. Look it up. I swear to you.
Unbelievable.
But it's funny. Like, you know, I'm just thinking like Eventbrite stout. That's why I said the BA Lads. Like people going crazy on Eventbrite.
Yeah.
And it's a stout when you can't. Yeah. But you know what? Does the sunlight matter?
Yeah.
Like it does as well. So that's, I guess it goes back to what you were saying.
Can's 100%, right?
Yes.
Right. I think a bottle's like 90 something.
Yeah.
Huh. So me doing this here with the lights on next to all my bottles is not a great idea.
Not so much artificial light, more like sun. Like sunlight. You don't want it, what's it called? Light struck from the sun. Yeah.
Clearly, that's everybody here knows a shit ton more than
I would not say that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you had a
guarantee you're going to get messages, so, everybody on that podcast is wrong.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, everybody. Like, it's, I mean, you know, I think that I think the main thing for like a cellar thing is like you don't really want sunlight in there, one, right? Two, you want the temperature to be within a certain range. You don't want it to like go from rain, have like a 20 or 30 degree difference, you know? And I guess you want it to be not to be floating around. You don't really want there to be a flood. somewhere where it'll flood out. Exactly. You know?
Did you hear that drop? Jose? Wow. Jose dropped something.
Oh, I see a bottle.
Jose went out. Below his waist, grabbed something, and then popped it on the table.
Whoa, God. This guy.
My bad. This is definitely a podcast I'm not airing. So Jose, tell us what you're doing right now, man.
I am popping a bottle from my boy Bobby Escarhart. It is a sour with Hawaiian golden pineapples.
So I don't know if a lot of people know what is Escarhart. If you can give us
he's a home brewer because he's technically not an actual brewery, but he's probably one of the best, if not the best home brewer I've ever had before. I mean, you were at the event when they opened that beer and everybody's like, holy crap, this is probably the best beer of the night. And it really was.
Stout.
Yeah.
What was it called? Do you remember? Fuck.
Put me on the spot. You hear that?
Jose's not loyal.
Sorry, Bobby.
we'll edit that in later.
No, but it was, I know it was almonds, coconut, and chocolate. And then he barrel aged it.
Nice. When was Melissa's Wings?
That was on October 12th, I want to say.
All right. So it was Mandalora.
Yes. Thank you.
It was a rye bourbon barrel aged stout that was conditioned on Marcona almonds, coconut, and cocoa nibs.
Yes.
Nice.
I guess we can talk about Melissa's Wings in a little bit.
Yes. Later on.
But
so it was rye and bourbon barrel aged? Nice.
It was a rye bourbon. I love rye barrel. It was a rye bourbon barrel aged.
Oh, okay.
Because technically, well, I don't know. I'm talking to a bartender.
Oh, so. God. I don't know.
What sure. Do you think? I will ask Bobby when
it was whiskey barrel.
Yeah, it was, you know,
the same it was fantastic. Yeah. That's all.
That's all that really matters. It was absolutely.
Yeah, and he has an amazing setup in his home. I'm going to be interviewing him soon.
That's for the
Q&A. He's an amazing dude. Down to earth. His bottles are hard to get. A lot of people, you know, are always asking how to get his bottles. I don't ask him for it. Sometimes he'll throw them my way, and I'm so grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man. I haven't had any of his sours, which I'm really excited about. I've had only his stouts.
This event, it was a bottle share that Jose did. It was at the other half old tap room, and it was a benefit. And Jose, you know, just jump in when you're ready. But this particular bottle, everything was there. Everything was there. There wasn't a beer that you wanted that wasn't there. And how many people in total were there?
There was a little over 100 people there.
Shit, really? Yeah. Really? Yeah, so it was in the old other half tap room, which is small, obviously. And then they opened it up to like where the brew floor was. Mm-hmm. And people were popping all different types of bottles. And that, you know, even, you know, when you go to a bottle share event, after a while, your palate's kind of like just...
Yeah,
sure. I'm drunk. Just put anything you want.
Yeah.
give me any type of beer that you have, and I'm good to go. But then when that popped open, like everybody stopped. Yeah,
it was a good one.
And I was lucky enough to get two pours, and it was absolutely, absolutely, absolutely incredible. And then I've been following him on Instagram since, and I'm seeing the stuff that he posts. He did the stout not too long ago. Yep.
He did the bear and the moose.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Can we pour this?
Yeah, go ahead.
And then, what is Melissa's Wings? You weren't able to do it this year.
Yes. So it all started a little over 10 years ago at a bar in North Arlington. I can't believe I forgot the name again.
Don't say Molly's. Was it Molly's?
No, it was
North Arlington, New Jersey, for those who are listening.
So it started there with six guys. We just all brought a few bottles. We toasted to my mom, and we were doing that 3 years in a row. Coppermine, by the way, just remembered.
Coppermine.
And then after that, they were closing down. So we moved it to Lower Manhattan at One Mile House, which was an amazing bar. Unfortunately, that one went under with COVID. And the last year I did it, which was 3 years ago, I went over to Jason Hermanito, and I said, hey, I said this drunk, but I said, hey, next year I kind of want to make this an event. I want to try to raise money for this. And he said, let's do it.
Raise money for what exactly?
Cancer. So cancer research. I wanted to go through MSK, Memorial Sloan Kettering. And it worked out well. I mean, at the beginning it was hard because I was like, oh, this is easy. I'm going to just talk to a bunch of breweries. Yeah, it's not that easy. So I met one guy and he said, why don't you talk to the guys at Hudson Valley Brewing? It's like, I don't know them. And he gave me their number and their email and they replied within 10 minutes.
Wow.
And they said, we would be honored to have you. And it was amazing. That was the first year we did it. We had 45 people there. It was small. We started at 10 in the morning because they had to open up the brewery for business.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's dope.
So early. We started at 10 and they said you could stay on the floor till about 2. And then they said you guys could take it outside on that little side patio. We were there till about 7. And we popped open, Jesus, 200 bottles for 45 people.
Oh my God.
It was it was not a good day.
You mean it was a fantastic
yeah,
day?
Yeah,
it was a terrible morning.
Yes.
Simple math, it's like 5 bottles a person.
yeah, and then we raised 4,500 that year.
Nice.
Which was awesome. I thought that was amazing. Then we were at an event for Mindful Ales in Jersey City. And
shout out to Dave.
Yes. Major shout out to Dave. And Jerry's was there. And he said, hey, man, let's do it at Other Half. I actually thought he was joking at first because I was like, yeah, sure. Then 2 months later, he's like, dude, are we going to do this or what? I was like, oh, crap, he's serious. Holy crap, I have Other Half.
Right.
And shout out to him, man. He said, we're going to raise double that what we did last year.
Wow, that's cool.
And man. Then he started giving me bottles, raffle this off, and was giving me bottles that I didn't even want to touch.
what were some of them?
He gave me the Bananiversary when the first one, and then he gave me the one from, oh crap, they're out west. It was a banana beer as well.
Like California West?
Yeah, or? California West. He's going to kill me that I don't remember this. They make Fa, I think.
Oh, you're talking about Three Chiefs.
Three Chiefs, thank you.
Crap. Yeah.
So they made a beer.
Faja.
Nana.
Right? Is it Faja or is it Faja?
No, the
Nana.
Nana. Oh, so Nana. He gave me Nana. And I was like, I don't want to touch this bottle because I knew how much, I obviously forgot the name, but I knew how much it cost and I didn't want to touch it. But he gave me that. And that bottle combined with the other one, it raised $1,200.
Wow. Wow.
Which I was floored at that point.
That's we awesome. Have a empanada. Wow. Those are not empanadas.
Those are nachos.
Wow.
Just in case he knows, awesome. We have vegetarians.
Thank you. Wow. This is very kind of you.
Holy thank crap. You.
More coming.
Okay. And
wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Listen.
So everyone, that was my wife and my mom.
very nice.
So, okay. And so we go into the Other Half. You raffle those two bottles.
Yeah. And then Bobby gave me some. We raised $800
Bobby?
With this. Bobby from Escart.
Got it.
He gave me a few bottles. We raised about $800 with that. And then people started giving me more bottles. And in total with the event and the raffles, we raised $11,000.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was very impressed. And then this year was supposed to be at the Seed, obviously. And
you did a virtual one, though.
Yeah, so it was funny because I wasn't going to do anything at all. And Sean from the Seed reached out to me. He's like, dude, you got to keep this tradition going, especially this one. It's 20-year anniversary.
Shout out to Sean, man. Awesome.
I never thought I was going to do it. And a friend of ours in a group, her name is Hillary. She's a nurse. And she said, I'll test everybody. And right there. And if we're all negative, let's do it.
Oh,
so we all got tested there at the brewery. And yeah, we had an amazing time.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was really, really good time. It was 15 of us, nice and special. And shout out to Tori. She, behind my back, surprised me and she reached out to a few people.
Victoria?
Yeah.
Taps with Tor on Instagram?
Yes. And they raised $4,800.
Mayor of Crispy Town?
Yes. Pills with one L.
right. Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's my brain took a second to put that together. So that's incredible. And so 2021, what are you thinking?
So as of right now, we are still on. It's going to be in May. Now the people count is going to be the tricky part because we don't know where we're going to be at. There's going to be any kind of restrictions. So we're capping it at 50. So it's going to be some people that are not going to be able to attend, unfortunately. Right. The list was, when I made it, was about 150.
Oh, my God.
So there's going to be about 100 people.
Like, it's like a wedding, right?
Yeah.
So like, I only got so many tables, man.
I'm literally just going to open it up to first come, first serve at the end of the day. So
doing it on Eventbrite?
Yeah, I'm literally going to do it on Eventbrite. So that's how I did it last year.
Bots.
Stubby cans.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's. I also want people to get down there. I know it's really far for a lot of people, including myself, but their place is beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait to go.
Great things about it.
Oh, it's, and their beer is only going to get better.
And Amanda and Sean are just two dope people.
Yeah.
Last bottle share I had, I messaged Sean. And I was like, hey, man, I really want somebody. This is before they were open. I was like, hey, man, I really want people to try your beer. I'm having a little bottle share. Do you think I can come by and buy a bottle or two? And he was like, dude, I'm going to 12% in Connecticut. He was like, I'll just come by and drop two bottles off for you. I was like, oh, that's great. You know?
Those were good, too. I remember.
Yeah. And Anthony, you had it, too.
Yeah.
And we popped it open, and it was great. And I was so... I was so shocked. There was also one time me, him, and Benny were on a Zoom until like 3 o'clock.
I remember that. I got off, I think at 1 o'clock, you guys were still going.
You guys want to hear a funny guy story?
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah.
All right. So take a second. Come on, Anthony. So,
we got to laugh.
In COVID, in the beginning stages of COVID, my man Jose over here had a mean stash. He was letting it rock. He was growing it out, right? Nice, big, just super like Pablo Escobar-ish because he's Colombian. Right, just like just a dope beer.
I don't know about dope, but
it was pretty terrible. And so, we used to do these Zooms. I think it was Mike at Norwalk Kwan, right?
Yes.
That like set it up. You had initially sent me the invite, so thank you, Jose, for that. And we were on it, and it was every
Wednesday
before the virtual.
Shout out to Michelle for putting that together, man.
Yeah,
I really hope she changes her mind and does this all over again because that was dope. Missed those Wednesdays.
Those were so fun. Learned so much.
Those were great.
I've covered this, but like the reason why we're even recording right now is because of those and because of Michelle and Drew in that whole process. But nice try. And so. Can I tell the story? I should ask you if I can tell the story.
Go ahead.
So it was one of the nights I signed off early, so I was not able to witness this. But all of a sudden, next Wednesday, I jump on. Jose's mustache is missing. Where did Jose's mustache go? He got so ripped that night. And there's video evidence, I think, or at least picture of he's like, yo, someone said, who? Tell the story. You tell the story.
It was at that point, it was... Jason from Timber Ales, Marco without an S from Unseen Creatures, Sean and Amanda. Dave was on there as well. And there was somebody else. I can't remember off. Yeah, I don't remember who else was there. Then I believe it was Marcos that said, you should shave that off, dude. It looks horrible. I was like, all right. And I literally just put... like two dollops of shaving cream on my ear. And it literally with one swipe on each side disappeared. And I didn't know it, but Marcos literally took a selfie of him with me.
That's hilarious.
And I think Dave took one too, which was pretty funny. So I shaved it off while we were on the Zoom call.
I'll tell you what, man, those Zooms were therapeutic.
Yes, absolutely.
You're still doing them.
I'm still doing them. One I do on Friday nights and one I do on Saturday nights, and they've been great. I mean, they really kept it. You know, you have something to look forward to. You know, when it was really bad, the pandemic, and nobody was leaving their house, it was just something to look forward to. You know, it was like getting together, like if we were all going to get together in the tap room. And it was, we started out with like, you know, a shout out to the Mugman. He was one of the first guys for the Friday Zoom that really reached out to me, my boy. Who? John in Chicago. So he, like me and him, we've met once, we've been friends, and he was like, yo, we should kind of like do this where we get like people together we know. So we just started reaching out and it grew. Like, I remember probably at the height at one time, we had like almost 27 people on Zoom, which that gets really difficult to like coordinate who's talking. So you kind of need like ringleaders. Like, you know, I would be like, all right, guys, look, we're going to play a game right now. And just something to look forward to. And it's still going to this day. You know, we have a really good group. Well, sometimes we'll get 12 people on there. Wow. You know, sometimes it's five. But, you know, we have West Coast people on there. So lately I'm going to bed 6-7 o'clock in the morning and we're just going nonstop. I'm like, guys, the sun's out. I got to get to bed. I'm sorry. But I have to be the last one that goes to bed. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm always the last one.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy.
Last man standing.
I'm gonna be the last man because no one's gonna outdrink me, and no one's gonna be like, "Hey, yeah, why don't you go to bed?" I'm like, "Oh, fuck you."
Yo, I'm starting to put that together now because on the bottle shares, it's always me, you, and Kamar the last ones.
Yep,
because we had the highest tolerance.
First one out. I'll tell you right now.
Because I was like, "I'm good."
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, can we talk about this beer real quick?
This beer is ridiculous. Really good. It's so good.
I'm like, it's so good. I almost don't want to talk about it because I know it's like super hard to get for people. But that's so I hate to like,
Jesus.
Guess what I'm having to cheer not.
There's gonna be a lot of that. We're gonna do it all the time.
Pineapple is just
that's what it is. It's the pineapple straight.
I feel like I just took a slice of pineapple and just
but not the melted. Full sweetness of it. Though,
no,
right? Like it's, but you get that whole like I just ate a pineapple like you were just saying, but what without the full on sweetness, you still get that funk, you still get that. And it was oak. Was it oaky? You know what I said?
Yeah, that I don't know. I'm just going to pour you.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys can finish that. I'm good.
All right. This is delicious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost get like a slight spicy pineapple feel to it too. Like
good call.
It's a little stingy, like, but in a good way where it's like, wow, this is
different. Have you ever heard of chipcha as Colombian? You're Colombian Argentinian, right?
Right. I'm a disgrace to my race, though.
God, man, you're disappointing me right now.
I'm sorry, man. I'm from Patterson, New Jersey. I know what chichos are. I have chichos right here. Outside of that, what's a chicha?
Chipcha is
a chipa.
Chipcha.
Chicha.
Chipcha.
Chipa.
Let's just move forward.
As I bite into my empanada that my Colombian mother just made.
It's almost like a fermented pineapple, and they leave it. Literally, you take the peel off the pineapple, you throw it in water, and it just ferments for weeks, and it turns into an alcohol. It almost tastes like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Fantastic. Can we do stuff like that at home?
Oh,
can
absolutely.
We just like make that?
Yeah.
Yo, time out.
That's awesome.
It's the skin.
The skin and the actual heart of the pineapple.
And so you eat the good part.
You eat the good part, and just
ferment the rest of it.
You don't waste it.
And
that's awesome. Poor people problems.
But and is it just water?
I believe so. Don't. I was a kid when my mom used to make it.
Mr. Scientist.
That's all you need, man.
Mm-hmm. That's it, just water.
Yeah. Sugar, thyme, probably have to leave it open a little bit so you get some wild yeast to go in there.
Yep.
Just four ingredients.
And it's...
Yeah, let me find out. Colombians were making wild farmhouse ales. <That's hell. laughs>
My mom used to make that, actually.
No!
Wow.
And she gave me some to try. I was like, this is delicious.
Oh, my God.
That's what this reminds you of. Yeah.
Well... For everyone out there, that's what this is, and it's amazing. It's absolutely delicious, Bobby.
Really
good. Bobby Escahart, man. Like, I can be a friend too.
I'm very, very excited to do his brewery friend feature. Even though he's not a brewery, he's in the industry. So
I mean, listen, I'm excited about New Jersey beers. Like, there's two home brewers right now that three. One's like super out there wild shit, and two others that are really honing in on like farmhouse. It feels like every single one has a thing. So there's Harry from Experimental.
Was that the one with the beard, right?
Yeah. With the beard. He's in Garfield, I think.
Mm.
He does these wild, like just super off the wall experimental beers. So like a pickle goes
Okay. I like that though with the salt.
I'm into that.
And then, you know, obviously there's Dave from Mindful Ales. That's
well, Dave. I don't think he's what you can't consider him. He's no longer a home brewer.
Is he?
Yeah, I don't quote me on that, but I think he's
a gypsy brewer.
Yeah, right?
Is he really?
Yeah, I don't think he's no longer.
I need to get some of his beer then, man.
We all do.
Kim Set. I think it was a Kim Set Kismet. Kismet or something like that. I don't know. Absolutely incredible. And there's another one, Post. Absolutely incredible. And I've been lucky enough to try it at the Brooklyn Farms event with you. That's where we met, Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Brooklyn.
Sorry, I had that one.
Yeah, that one was really good. And that's actually when I met Sean and Amanda for the first time as well, because they were right next to each other. And then Bobby Escohart, who's, you know, I know for stouts, every time he posts a stout picture, a picture of a barrel, I'm like, bro, who do I have to kill, man?
Bear and Moose was probably my favorite stout of last year.
I saw that you had those, man. Yeah. And I like his whole concept of art, too. Have you guys never, outside of just this, have you had any of his other stuff?
No.
I have not.
No, I have another beer in there from him, so.
I just checked my Instagram, and I actually follow them already. So I'm like, damn. I'm like, I never had anything from them before.
Yeah, Jose's representing Jersey heavy right now.
Hey, man, I have to. This I'm having a sip of this one. So this is a sour, but it's at 10%.
Oh. My type of party?
Yeah.
My type of party?
Yeah, that one's, I believe, a cherry sour.
Oh,
yes. So, Anthony, your Instagram page is fucking beautiful. You were ghost for a while.
Ghost, man. Yo, COVID, man. It fucks with us all.
You're a ghost, and then all of a sudden you reappear with two massive jawbreakers in your hands.
I saw your story. How long did it actually take you to cut that thing?
25 minutes.
Jesus.
With a power saw, right?
With a power saw.
Well, you know, it's like a Dremel. I didn't use like a chainsaw. With that little Dremel, it took about, I would say, 20 minutes. Well, actually, I would say the whole process took 20 minutes because we tried two other tools first. My first plan was to use like a vise, right? And then maybe we could just sand it so that because I wanted it to be flat. Totally didn't work. Second was, okay, what if we use, like, make like a notch and just use regular saw, but you couldn't do it. Third was, just use a Dremel. And what we had to do was we had to like score it around the whole thing and then just start digging into it, but it had to be in a vise because I was afraid to hold it. So
when you say we,
my neighbor's got all the power.
I thought your wife is helping you with this. I'm like,
she helps me with some. I'll be honest, she does help me with some of my photos. Either like you just saw the waffle one, right? So she's taking that photo. Obviously the famous one, the pancake one. She obviously cooked all those pancakes, and then I took a can, cut the bottom out, and used it as like a cookie cutter to go through them. Took it out, and then slid the other can inside so it fit perfectly. So
the one that made me follow you was the ET one though.
Oh yeah.
And then I heard the story about it because I think you did a live chat with
Ruby.
I forgot. Yeah. But you paid like
$60 yeah. for that hand.
Jeez.
No, if I have an idea there's no cost I can put to it. It's like if I want to do this shot, I'm gonna go all out and I'm gonna make that shot happen. So I mean that large jawbreaker, you know, my wife here and this probably can kill me, but that large jawbreaker was $25.
Jesus.
All I do is I just cut that piece off and it's like, all right, now it's a paperweight on my desk. Like, what am I gonna do with this thing? I'm not gonna
put the jaw back. Yeah. I mean the jawbreaker, man.
But the funny part is the jawbreaker came with lip balm for people that were gonna try to
split your leg.
I was like, are you serious with this? This is insane.
Oh man. And what's crazy is that all done on iPhone.
All done on my iPhone. Yep. Yep.
And then you edit it on an app too.
Yeah, I just use Snapseed, right? Because sometimes like the lighting won't be great.
Snapseed's good,
man. Look, you guys, yeah. I know you two Snapseed's are like good. The big photographers,
well,
right?
But time out. Well, I can point a camera and hit. Outside of that, I have no.
Oh, yeah. So then, no, Jose does really good with the photography. Mm-hmm. Me, it's just
I do okay.
I use my iPhone and then just use Snapseed. I'll change some of the brightnesses here or there. A lot of my stuff, I'm using like. You know, I'm either using fishing line or I'm using a one thing I usually use because you can't really see it if you do well is like clear plastic knives. So when I did the monkish one where I had the carton of milk, what I did was I made like a spine of plastic knives and I put it in the back and I did it in such a way that it was like, you know, tipping. So when you filled it with all the heavy stuff, it would go back to normal.
Huh.
And if you look really close, if you zoom in, you could see the plastic knives in that spine in the back, but like. You got to use what you can use, man.
Yeah, that monkey's meatball one was fire.
I made all those meatballs and put them on.
So how long does one post usually take you?
I mean, they vary. You know, sometimes I could do one in 30 minutes. Sometimes
30 minutes.
Some take like two hours. You know. Like
that's impressive.
Like that jawbreaker
one. I thought I was taking a long time with mine.
No. Like even short ones take some time. Like when I did the EQ one where I did the half full, So I was like, okay.
What's the half full one? Explain that one.
So what I do is whenever I have an idea for a photo, I tell my wife, I'm like, all right, here's my idea for a photo. And if she doesn't say, well, how are you going to do that? Then I don't do the photo. Because I want to be like, exactly, how are we going to do that? And that's what people are going to wonder.
Nice. Right.
So in the science world, there's this thing called parafilm, which is almost, you think of it kind of like saran wrap, but it's thick and it's very stretchable. So what you do is, if you have the glass, you make sure that it's dry on top. If you pull that on top of that glass, it'll stick really well. They use it mostly in labs to make sure that stuff stays, protected from the outside air. Like you tighten it, but then you put parafilm on too. It really seals it. So I was like, okay, if I get that stuff and I have my glass, we can have just the bottom, just the top, and then have a glass sideways. That's all three ways of a glass being half full. I said, all right, so we have to do this. That one took so long because I was so nervous when I flipped that glass upside down that it was going to spill out. I was nervous that if I had the glass sideways, it was going to pour out. So it was like setting all that up and then take the picture as literally as fast as we could. And then when we were done, I was like, all right, let's clean up. Beer went everywhere. Beer went everywhere.
So when did you take that picture?
I took that picture.
And posted it, obviously.
Yeah, I want to say by July, June or July.
So guys, it's January 2021. Go into July 20. Check out that post. It is pretty incredible. I remember it now.
That's one of my favorites from last year. What happened was, just full disclosure, I had some like work issues that were going on and I ended up leaving my job and was unemployed for like 1 or 2 months. And that could just be stressful in a household with two kids and everything else. So I just, the last thing on my mind was posting. And I really wanted to post. I just didn't have the time, didn't have the motivation, really. I was putting all my energy into just trying to get a new job, trying to fix my whole life.
Yeah.
Got the new job and I was really happy. And then I just, things just get away from you. Now I'm in a new job. Now I'm concentrating on that. But I promised myself new year. I said, okay, got to get back into it, And I really appreciate, a lot of people reached out to me that, I'm not as friendly with as you guys, but were like, hey, I haven't posted in a while. How's everything? So shout out to all those people who just like my work and appreciate it and like make me motivated to do more photos like that.
Yeah. Listen, me and Kamal talk about this all the time, bro. It's like the beer community is ridiculous.
Yeah.
None of you guys really live by me. I never really would have met you guys outside of beer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? We've all would have lived our separate lives. But beer brought us together. And we're talking like, just the complete randomness. So me and Kamal were at D96. Actually, Anthony, you were there too.
Yep.
And then when I left,
saw him.
Yeah, I left.
Oh, that's right.
it was for the All Snake Everything release. I left and like
he brought out all the best crew.
But Benny sends me a message like, yo, your brother just showed up like 5 minutes after I left. And and so we're, I think about that and I forgot what I was going. Oh, and so I'm also sitting next to Lou Sosa, OG beer guy.
Half,
He's always at Other Half.
Always.
And I actually met him when I went to Beer Wax this August. And they were celebrating Chris Maestro, the owner, operator of Beer Wax, birthday. But it was also the reason why I was there. It was my birthday. I didn't know him. I didn't know any of that. Anyway, so I met him there through, I think, David, what's his Instagram? Is it David Pena _?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right?
David Pena.
Yeah. I'm sorry, David. I'm really sorry if you listen to this. But anyway, so we met. And so when we're at D96, we were talking and it was like, hey, man, I'm not spending all this money or my time on beer because of the beer. I can get it at the supermarket. I can get it at my local Bottle King. And obviously not as good. So no disrespect to anybody out there. But it's the people around. Make it make sense. And it's so fun to bring people that don't pre-COVID, obviously. That don't know anything about craft beer, don't really experience. I don't get why you get so excited about this. And be like,
to go to a brewery, yeah,
just to give them that
experience. Oh yeah, yeah. When I was in when we were talking about when I was just in Virginia, right? So I was just bouncing around Richmond. One of my friends, I've known her since seventh grade. She lives out there, so I was like, hey man, I'm gonna come hang out with you and kick it, and we're going to go to breweries. And she's never been to a brewery in her life. So we went to like five breweries, and she was it. But The weird thing about it is it was like COVID. So it was strange.
Right.
Because she didn't get that normal experience that we always get, you know.
But, was it still dope?
It was still dope. Still dope. We went to Triple Crossing. Mm. We went to The Answer, to The Veil.
Personal favorites?
Whoa.
What is this?
Yeah, what's this one?
It's a Reddit sour ale.
So nice. Another Eskar beer that you were saying. This is called, how do you pronounce that correct? Confiri?
Yeah, sure.
You're the scientist.
conifer? Like the tree?
Oh, yeah.
And the tree. He's probably right because that's...
It's like both of you. I mean, you're
science. Science.
I'll let you fuck up, not me.
I'm just... All people are ever going to get out of this podcast how dumb I am. All right. So this is a 10%. It's like, yo, this motherfucker can't spell. Look at his post. He can't even talk right. He can't pronounce shit.
I should have put a syllabus with him.
I just know what I know, motherfuckers. Anyway, 10% ABV sour red ale, blend of oak age and non-oak age sour ales. Also, he blended this. Interesting. Brewed with smoked malt and
Montmorency.
Yeah.
Cherries. Montmorency cherries. I love cherries.
Yeah.
I think that's
so the smoke in this is present.
Oh, okay. Damn. Yo, say, man, pass that over.
The guard makes a good one with those type of cherries, too.
Yeah.
Is your glass empty here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the smoke is definitely present in that one.
In a good way or a bad way, be real.
Well, I'm always honest when it comes to talking about beer. I'm not a big smoke guy.
Well, you don't rate your beer, so.
I do not. And that's the reason why, because there you go. He thinks it's awesome. I'm not going to say it's a bad beer because it's not. I get what it is, but I'm not going to rate something for that reason.
Okay.
Because if I don't like it, why am I going to give it a 3 and screw up his rating? It's just
now we're getting to it's the 40-minute mark where we got to fucking get into something. Hold up. So this is interesting. We have 4 people in this room. So
this beer is delicious, by the way. Holy crap.
I'm a big mezcal fan, right? So for me, that smokiness just adds an element that just complements the sweetness really, really well. Well, tart.
And exactly that, because you get tartness. You get the cherries. And you get the smoke. But it's just me and
complex.
Smoke. Yeah, and I'll explain why I don't like smoke. Because with smoke, it reminds me of bacon. When I... taste that. It's okay. It's just...
You don't like bacon?
I don't eat meat.
Oh, okay.
Don't you fucking disrespect bacon like that.
You can make you can take the eggplant and make bacon out of it, right? Yes. I that's the thing that vegans do.
Marcel,
smoke some eggplant, bro. What's up?
Has so much random fucking knowledge. This motherfucker broke down a tree, a cherry... And now bacon, eggplant. I never even...
Bro, you know...
You can make anything taste like meat.
Here we go.
This is the Fire and Pan podcast, though. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm just happy
it wasn't me this time. And listen, your scallops and salmon, poof.
Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So I have an untapped and I rate. You have an untapped. You don't rate.
Correct.
You're being Jose. I'm sorry. And then Anthony Kamal both do not have untap. What's interesting about these two individuals is that if we go a year from now and say, hey, do you remember that like tree beer from Eskerhart? Right.
Conifer. Yeah.
Yeah. Both these guys will remember it and then go through the taste profile. There's been multiple times where I've had conversations with Anthony and I'm like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, you had that beer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, we had that your bottle share the other day. I'm like, oh, where is
it? Did I like it?
Right. And then,
you know, it tastes like 4.25.
I don't know how you are, but your guys' beer memory is incredible. But I need to have on tap so I can.
So I actually don't have on tap for that reason. I can remember a beer.
Yeah.
We were talking about a certain beer. I'm actually not going to say the name of it, but batch 1 was phenomenal. Batch 2 was
Not so great.
So first of all, man, you've gone too far.
I know. Now you want to know what the beer was.
Yeah, just say the beer. People know if their beer sucks, man.
No, it didn't suck. It was really good beer. And I may I may have worked with them in the past, so I just don't want to burn some bridges.
I mean, I don't remember what brewery it was, but a brewery literally made a beer called Batch One Was Better. Like,
I think it didn't another half to it.
I think it was other half. Yeah, right.
No, it was an anniversary IPA.
It's a known thing in the beer world, right? So, like
it was.
It's also a thing of clout too, because then you can say, I had Batch One.
Oh, I had Batch One,
and Batch One was better, and you didn't have.
But did you drink Batch One and side by side though?
It's just a flex move, right? Is that what you're saying?
Because let me tell you something. You back me up on this. Laid back by the head.
Okay.
Batch One.
It's crazy.
Batch Two. Batch Three.
Batch Three was crazy. Batch Three was deliciously crazy.
Yes.
Batch Three was the best out of the three.
Yeah. No.
Yo, because I love that beer.
Batch One never canned it.
Sour IPAs are my
Now I don't know if I had it, so I have to go to untap it.
Oh, you have it.
Sour IPAs. Sour IPAs is just one of those styles for me. Like, it's just the perfect blend because I love IPAs. I love sours. Like, a good sour IPA is just like that great middle point. You had it. Everybody had it. It's amazing.
I've only had one check-in, and this one check-in was on 2018. Is that
beer? Yeah, I remember the first time I had it. I was like, damn, this beer is mad out of hand. Batch 2, it's not as good as I remember it being. And then Batch 3 was like, yeah, this is the one.
100% agree.
You know?
I think that's a common conception about that beer.
Yeah. The Batch 2 was also good, but it wasn't as good as our
pal. Didn't hit you like right here.
Right, it did hit. Right, like the old A1 commercial.
Get you right here.
They're pointing at they're each other's necks. I lost focus. I'm not sure what's going on right now.
So, back to that. Like, I know that sour IPAs is your shit.
Yep.
Barley wines. Because I was listening to your podcast and that came up. Barley wines is literally one of my favorite styles.
Mm. Yeah.
And I always say to people, if you don't like barley wines, you have not had the right barley wine.
Mm.
Now, what is the best barley wine you've had?
Oh.
You're asking me?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me.
I don't know. Let me go back to my... this is the... I've had good barley wines. And if you put a barley wine in front of me, I'm not going to say, get it away. I'm not interested.
You're going to make that thing disappear.
I'm going to drink it and I'm going to try it and I'm going to give it its chance like I do with pretty much every beer.
Yeah.
But the fundamental of what a barley wine is, I think the only barley wines I've ever really enjoyed are barrels, like a barrel aged barley wine. But I don't like that over malt.
So it's like a over malted triple IPA.
Right. And like, you know, worldwide style, people love worldwide style, but that to me is like, that to me almost tastes like a barley wine. It's so, I don't know. It's not, is sweet the right word? Like a barley wine.
It is
sweet. Then also it's like someone got like a really deep, rich Merlot and put sugar in there and stirred it. To me,
For me,
Merlot the right wines because it's like a dark, rich red. You know, I don't know, but like it's weird.
It has for me, a barley wine has this like caramelly, nutty, super malty, almost like banana-ish.
It shouldn't be over malty.
Flavor.
Good barley wine should not be overly malty or overly sweet.
Right. I'm trying to think what was the best one I've had because it's a style that I don't love, but I always drink. If it's available, I'm going to drink it because I'm curious to revisit it to see if like my taste buds did the old switch up and I'm like, okay, this is good. You know, I can't even recall like one that I've, and I remember having one a couple years back that I was like, damn, this is actually really good.
Endless Ending.
And I can't remember what brewery it was.
Anchorage.
Endless Ending. And Anchorage.
It's the bottle it's I gave it a 4.75
and that's nice. Okay.
It's a barley wine that I really enjoyed. I think I got it off. It's
Tavour. Whatever it's called.
Thank you.
Maybe it's Columbia thing.
I know.
I mean, like, I think a lot of people probably, when you start out in a beer game, I think it's Bigfoot by Sierra Nevada, right? One that everyone's probably had, and they had that, and they were probably like, oh, I don't want barley wines. I think it's one of those things I've learned. So I was never a huge Pilsner guy, right? I'm starting to come around now, and I'm really enjoying Pilsners. I think it's, when you think of Pilsners, Porters, and Barley Wines, I think that that almost separates you when you think about Hazies and Stouts and, like, you know what I mean? And, like, Berliner Rye. Like, these are, like, beers that, you know, are quicker. The time that goes into a Pilsner and the how well that gets crafted to get those tastes, I'm starting to appreciate that now more as my palate's getting more, I don't want to say educated, but it's enhancing. And I think that porters are probably a style like that as well as probably barley wines. Is that once you get to separate out what you're tasting and the effort that goes into it and what they've tried to accomplish, you can really enjoy it better.
For real.
Yeah, man.
Yo, for real.
I'm in the same boat as you. I think I've always liked or enjoyed a like Pilsner, but the past like year and a half, I've been super into them. And then once I discovered Palatine, that kind of...
Thank you, Victoria, again.
Yeah, I mean, like,
love those.
Just that really made me go, oh yeah, I can drink a Pilsner. I enjoy a Pilsner too. Like, hey, when I'm at a bar, I want to see, I want to try these Pilsners.
Wait, we talk about lime snaps though.
I heard lime. I didn't get to have lime snaps, but I heard it was amazing. I think all of the other half Pilsners were good.
Yeah, crickets.
Crickets was great.
Yeah.
But listen, man, if you want a dope Pilsner, walk down the block.
Thank you. And here's the thing. With Pilsners, and I've always said this, with Pilsners, you cannot... The reason why I think they're so hard to make, you can't hide anything. Nope. You can't add marshmallows. You can't add chocolate.
Right.
It's a Pilsner. Yeah. You can't adjunct a Pilsner, even though there's some breweries doing that, unfortunately.
Yeah. We literally just talked about one that was adjunct right now. With lime.
Well, no.
That's an adjunct, bro.
Yes, it is.
Lime is an adjunct.
But poetry snaps, I love
poetry snaps. Poetry snaps is good, too.
But the lime snaps with that hint of lime,
you
don't lose nothing. You gain something.
That was everything.
The lime? Does the lime change it over? Because what's the difference between a lager and a Pilsner? Are they
a Pilsner is a lager.
It's the same thing.
To the same
thing. Yeah, lager. They're a lager.
Ales and lagers.
Yeah.
Because Troon released a lager that I was, I think, for Cinco de Mayo that had lime zest in it. And it was absolutely incredible. But people on Untappd were rating it a 3.5. And that was easily like a 4, 4.25, 4.5.
But do you feel... All right. So this is the thing that gets me about Untappd. So... Do you feel like somebody would naturally rate a Pilsner lower than, say, a barrel-aged stout?
Yes.
Someone's going to be barrel-aged stout 4.62.
Palatine is rated like at 4, which is fucking ridiculous. For a lager or a Pilsner, it's 4.5, 4.75.
So how do you... All ratings go up at least 0.25 just based on their rarity. Least 0.25.
Right. And the brewery. As every other half...
But that beer is
IPA
perfect.
That come out is a fucking 4.25?
Nah.
There's been plenty of that.
I mean, look, we joke, right, about we're drinking micro beers, right? Micro craft breweries, stuff like that. You know, when you go to the GABF and all those other things, like, and the reason that Coors wins these friggin' awards is because they're mass producing a beer and it's tasting the same consistently from batch to batch. Not to say that we enjoy that style, we want certain things.
Right.
But my point is, they're not winning awards because they're just handing it out. Like, they're winning these awards because they're creating something and reproducibility. And I say that the pills, right, from Suarez, you get that reproducibility batch to batch to batch.
Yeah.
Crushable.
They mastered that.
Give me that. And they're some of the best pills in our area.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we had Anna before we started this as
Love
well.
Love you, baby.
The Anna. I'm going to let you take this bottle home and have fun with it.
Already did. You didn't even notice it. You shouldn't have touched it.
You can see that bottle from space now. Right.
But like Hill Farmstead, regardless, one is the best microbreweries in the world. You know, Anna's also like consistently always good. And what's crazy is that I was just talking about it before we jumped on that. I got 3 bottles of Author, and it kills me that these 3 bottles of Author in total cost was $30.
Mm-hmm.
$10 a bottle for Author, which is absolutely amazing. Amazing bottle. So it's, you know, reproducibility is important. You know, BCBS is not as crazy as it was before, but man, you put one in front of me, I'm not going to be like, no.
It's still good. It's still quality beer, man. And I won't post it.
Yeah. You know what? Now I'm going to do a vertical. I'm just going to fucking post it. And I'm going to tag you.
I will delete my name from that
why,
post.
Why would you? Because it's a chorus? Because they be bad or whatever?
So here's my thing. And probably going to get shit on for this, but.
Only like 4 people listen to this.
The 3 of them in the room.
So
BCBS, they make a great stout.
Yeah.
It is. It's not what it was before they sold out, but they're...
there it is.
They're millionaires. They made millions of dollars off of that sale. Why am I going to support that and give them more millions? And why am I going to advertise for them for free? I support the craft beer. And that's why I support
True that.
And post craft beer only.
Word up.
I kind of challenge that.
All right.
I challenge it for one reason. Until the first part of the sentence, and when you got into the second part of the sentence, that made more sense to me. Why would I post it to support them? I'm trying to support the local microbreweries. But so I get that. But listen, man, you know, if they make a good product, if the product is good, and they release it consistently, what's wrong with enjoying that? In my opinion,
I'll enjoy it. I'm just not buying it.
Okay. Hey, listen, like I have a bunch here.
I see quite a few
from like 2015, and I didn't. I bought one from last year, or I should say 2 years ago, 2019. Just because I saw it on the shelf, I was like, I'll just pick it up. And I'll probably do the same with the 2020, just so I can do a full vertical. Yeah. But I used to do the BCBS, the KBS.
We all did.
CBS. We all did.
Yeah.
These are all gateway bottles.
I have like seven 120s right here.
Listen, once that line life starts, it's like, oh, I want to get on that line too. What is this beer about?
Right.
And, you know, everybody back in the day used to go crazy for that.
Yeah.
And I think to Jose's point, like $20 on a Kentucky bourbon, like from Goose Island, we'll get lost in the shuffle compared to a $20 going to like a Mindful Ales,
right?
Or this guy right here.
That's
like
true.
This is what that those are. That's making a point. That's improving them, growing them, making right. them to have better product, so that we don't have people like me that have never had anything by them that can get it a little more often.
Right. Yeah.
Outside of knowing you guys,
true that.
Yeah, but you know, but so there's also
we're things creating line
that like jumps in my brain, right? Like I'm done supporting Founders. I won't really drink a Founders beer, nope. mainly because of the whole
yes.
I'm racist incident. Yeah. Oh, I don't see color bullshit, whatever he said. And so I'm done with that particular brewery. But we won't know if stuff like that happens in a microbrewery, right? I'm done supporting Stone.
Right? Really?
Yo, yeah, man. Victor, who you haven't met and you need to be introduced to. Victor is the gentleman that put me on to craft beer.
Okay.
Both Anthony and Kamal have met them. Maybe a bottle share will figure out something where you can come here and be safe. But he put me on when Stone had its first controversy where it just kind of like let everybody go. There was like huge things. And then they've repeated that process like multiple times. And now that's so funny. Albie, MIA Beer Brigade.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Started calling them out for, just suing anyone with the Stone name on it, which is absolutely...
I remember that.
The craft beer community is about the people and how you support the people and how you support the community. And when you do stuff like that, whatever. So I get that aspect of it. But it also, you know, you had mentioned before, it's like, hey, you know, some people have their beer in the store and sit in there, right? Like, you know, other half has gotten... really, really big. They have four locations or correct. Three?
Four.
Right. It's,
four
now, it's Finger yeah. Lakes, DC,
Domino
Park, yeah. and then Brooklyn. The original Brooklyn location. Right. And now we're starting to see other half at Devour and other like New York.
And Jersey.
Right.
Really?
Yo, yeah. I didn't.
So wow,
I
does didn't that,
that. I
does that. Does that demean, you know, who other half is, what, you know, and the quality of the beer? I think the answer to that is no.
Absolutely not.
Right.
They're still craft beer, and I will still continue to support them. I can only imagine what they went through to get to where they're at now.
Right.
You know, same thing for Equilibrium. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It was, sure, they're huge now, but the struggles that they went through.
Right.
And I see it with Sean and Amanda. I mean, they're making great beer, but it's, you know, it's hard work.
Yeah.
When I went to go down there to do the feature on them, seeing them work, I was like, damn, this is a lot of work to make a beer. And it was eye-opening, and it makes me enjoy their beer so much more because of that. And it makes me not want to purchase, right. the bigger breweries.
That makes sense. The more you see it, man, the more you see that passion, you're like,
got to respect the roots.
Yeah,
got to respect to what it took to get that tree up in the air. There's a lot more below the ground that
right.
only some of us have the privilege of seeing with certain breweries.
There it is.
Know their struggles, right? You think of like just a restaurant business. You open a restaurant.
Crazy.
For 3 years, you're lucky you're getting all money you make goes back into the restaurant.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's a struggle. And so these guys struggled, but eventually you make it over this hump, and now you can breathe a little bit. But the passion behind the breweries that Jose just mentioned, they're still going. They don't care how big they are. They still want to push the envelope, push the thing. You know, you told me Equilibrium, I'd be doing their first sour IPA. I mean, we're talking about a brewery that is big now.
Yeah.
They want to push it. They want
to
try
this. Well, they did that two tickets to Paladice was their the double IPA, the blue one, right? It was the
They had a collab with Vitamin C.
Yeah, so the Equilibrium version was...
Which, by the way, best name for a beer of all 2020.
Right?
2020 beer names, the Oscar goes to...
Two tickets to Paladice.
Greatest...
I thought it was a good name. I thought it was really good.
It's the kick. Nothing even touches that.
Yeah. I did love them. I actually liked that beer. I thought it was good. I love when any brewery shows versatility.
Right.
I love that. I love that it was bold as fuck. It was blue. Like, I thought that was so dope. And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I know a few people had weird things to say about it, but...
What was it on tap rating?
Right. Oh, yeah. The tickets on tap.
So I think the moral of the story is like, you know, everyone's going to have their own opinion about beer.
Yeah.
But the one common consensus about craft beer is it's how the people around it act and really move forward. And, you know, some of these bottle releases are becoming like Jordans, right? Becoming like Star Culture. I want to give a huge, just like virtual hug to Michelle. Did you guys see that?
Oh, that was awesome.
All right, we're gonna end it at this note. Come on, do you want to cover it?
No, that you go. Awesome. You go.
Okay, so
thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, the Swiss Bliss release. Right, that just came out. Some dude on Facebook posted $100 for the bottle on Facebook. Give me $100 for, you know, a Swiss Bliss bottle. And then Michelle, right under it, goes, have fun trying to sell air. Your order's been canceled.
snatch grabbed them.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I think that was hilarious.
How are you selling?
And then he got dragged. And then he continued to get dragged after that.
That's not what it's about, though, you know, because it's not about... Listen,
I hate that.
It goes from a couple guys meeting at a brewery, right? Like, we all met at different beer events, right? And then we got Melissa's Wings raising $11,000 for cancer. Like, that's the stepping stones that the potential that this community can bring, where we all think the same, we all act the same, and we all treat each other with respect. You have people like this that are price gouging. There's no room for them in this community.
Right.
And they get excommunicated with the quickness. I mean, they are in, and now that guy is out, and there's no shot.
That was awesome.
Hey, listen, man. Maybe we'll save this for another episode. But, you know, someone posted a Troon glass for $900 on eBay.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Hayes Boys, by the way. He's the one that's, like, introducing us to all these stories.
Are you ready?
Love that dude.
Yo, nine bills, really? For
glass? Sold. I think it was $980, wasn't it?
$980.
What? It sold for more than $900.
Yeah.
It's
what?
It was one glass, bro.
One glass?
From Troon.
What is the...
All respect to Alex and Troon.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Troon. Awesome beer, awesome artwork, awesome glasswork.
What?
I ain't paying $900.
That's crazy.
I have that glass, by the way.
Yo, you want your mortgage paid off for the next week?
I'm not selling it. Thank you, Alex, for that glass.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
It's ridiculous.
Well, sold. The answer's glasses, those go for crazy amounts.
Yeah, that's...
And the answer, like, I didn't know
people
this.
People camp out 2 days ahead of time.
I didn't know this, but the answer, and we should wrap up, but I will say this, is that I don't... And you guys correct me if this is true or not, but I heard the answer, like, how it all really went down is that if you've been to the answer, they have a whole bunch of taps. They have, like, two bars. When you first walk in, there's a bigger bar to the right, and then you walk down, there's a smaller
crowd bar spot in the back, the end. Yeah.
And at that bigger bar, they have all different taps, but they also have your basic kind of tap list. And so apparently what he would do is whatever beer wasn't sold, he would...
Yeah, I don't want to even talk about these guys.
Yeah, he takes it and then just adjuncts it and then puts it out.
Yeah.
So he's not making the beer. He's just recycling it. It's kind of... I don't know if you guys know this about bagel shops and iced coffee. They just take the old coffee that didn't sell from the day before and pop it in ice and just sell it to you as iced coffee.
Good thing I don't drink coffee.
Hey, I mean, you got to...
So it's kind of what he was doing.
Repurposing. He was repurposing it.
And so, you know, I guess he's environmentally friendly, but still, that's kind of a...
Yeah.
I don't see it in a positive
way. That's another smack to a lot of the people that are actually brewing
beer. Right. And yeah. So it goes to show, like, there's going to be bad apples, but it's up to us in the community to go out there and be like, slap it. And it's really nice to see someone, like, as involved in the community and as big as a brewery like Michelle and Equilibrium to, like, hey, I'm not about that.
Right? That was really good to see.
For real.
So, guys, you know, most of our glasses are empty. I see that Anthony already poured his...
This stout is really nice.
I'm going to give you... Jose, you're just going to get a splash. That's it. You can smell it. All right,
I know Jerry's is saying, stop being a bitch.
Well, you already had some.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. I've been sipping on it.
This shit is good.
So apparently my ass needs to shut the fuck up and drink. Salute. It was a pleasure having you guys on the podcast. Cheers, guys. Thank you so much. Kinking Kamal Volume 2. Look forward to Volume 3. The Monk's Cafe episode will probably be air in February. And this will come... when you guys hear this. So thank you and have a great day, guys. Cheers.